Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mud Toe Sasquatch speaking to you this evening from my large city in the Midwest where the rain is falling. I can't hear the rain on the roof anymore because I don't live on the top floor of my new apartment building, but I can hear it outside and it's very nice. And the city vista through the raindrops is an interesting new sight for me, too. It's nice to have the heat, which we were so blessed with for so many days, take a little respite and let us sleep with the windows open. And while I'm on the subject of sleep, I'd like to express my gratitude for the new bed that I have. I'm no longer sleeping on the floor of my apartment, thanks to the kindness of relatives and friends. I now have something to sleep on. Not elegant, but functional, and I'm certainly, again, very glad to have it. In my little blurb about this week's show, of course, you ought to know by now that blurb isn't always terribly accurate, but I do want to say a few words about it being that September 11th, although technically it's not September 11th anymore. It's after midnight, so it's September 12th. After midnight in the East time zone, anyway. But I do have just a couple of things, mostly recollections. I'm not going to say anything too deep about it, I don't think. Of course, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. I want to open up today, though. I'm phoning tonight's show in because in my apartment I have no internet, so I can't use the Blog Talk broadcasting tool, unfortunately. But I can make do. I don't have the access to the wonderful introduction that Chief Iggy created for me, but I'm going to try. I do have here in my own studio a special guest. The Yadatis, the Wounded Flute, is here with me today. It's the flute that you hear during the regular introduction to my show. It's a flute that Chief Iggy gave to me. I keep in my medicine bundle or near it anyway because it doesn't actually fit in the bundle very well. It's one of those things. It's in my bundle. If it's near your bundle, then it's actually kind of in your bundle. But anyway, you see what I mean. It's a tool that I like to use to open up ceremony sometimes as a substitute for or in addition to lighting a sacred fire. It just seemed more appropriate today. Not exactly sure. I mean, whether because of the day, what day it is, or because of the kind of weather we have outside, and because of the cool winds blowing, to have the flute rather than the sacred fire today. So Theodotus is here with me. Theodotus, the name is the first. He was the first heretic. There was a conflict in the early Christian Church, Catholic Church, over whether the word of the Pope was going to be law in the church, or whether there was going to be discussion and consensus between the people who were in the know. Turned out the Pope was going to be law, so Theodotus got excommunicated, the first person ever to be excommunicated from the Catholic Church, and run off. I can't remember if they executed him or not. I didn't get that far in the story, but that's the name that called out to me when I first received this flute. So that's what it is. Now, he's also, you know, he is wounded as well. The first day that I had him, I was removing him from the pouch that he rests in, and he slipped out of my hands and fell to the floor. There's a long, thin crack in one of the barrels now. It's a drone flute. If you've heard it on the introduction before, it plays two separate tones at the same time. One of them stays the same, and the other one moves. It does take quite a bit of wind to play it for that reason. It's like playing two flutes at the same time. And I do know that serious reed European flute players do kind of look down their noses at the native flutes. I think they are just as beautiful. I'm not even going to say in their own way. I think they are just as beautiful. So I'm going to give this a shot. Now, I am in no means as good at this as Chief Iggy is. And the flute is wounded, so you do have to, it does make some squeaky sounds every once in a while. And I also am just a touch concerned about my neighbors, since it is after midnight. But then, on the other hand, they have a friend who pulls up in front of the building with a van and blasts the stereo at full volume, sometimes at 2 and 3 in the morning. So I think a few notes on the flute are not going to hurt anything. So let me put, I'm going to put my phone down, and I'm going to see if I can make the Theodica sing for us just a little bit. I'm still here. I'm going to put my fingers over each of the 6 holes. This is the drone part, and I'll just play the same note all the time. Oh, no, see, that's no good. A little better. That's the moving part. I play them together. Itself also needs some adjustments. Again, those two tones should be precisely the same when I start. Although I find when they're just a little bit dissonant, when they're just a little bit off, and you get that kind of beating kind of thing, that can be kind of interesting too. The artist says thank you for the opportunity to get out of that pouch and sing a little bit. Certainly, that's my fault. I would, I think it would be, I'd probably be more happy and more serene if I had just the wounded flute to sing to me, to sort of pour that part of spirit coming through me into the flute. I like to do it. I like to take him to drum circles. I don't do that enough either. He seems to enjoy himself at drum circles. Well, sometimes at drum circles you get to competitions with other people's native flutes, and they aren't necessarily calibrated the same way. So they don't play. It's not like that's one advantage that sort of European type flutes have, is you can play them together if they're properly tuned and never have a problem of that sort. Whereas native flutes are kind of not unless they're made by the same person, would not necessarily have that same tuning. That's part of the fun of them, too. So let's all say thank you to Theodotus, the wounded flute. Thank you for being with us here today and helping us to open our virtual bundles together and begin our ceremony. So let's begin with a few words about September the 11th. I was working in a factory at that time, and I had my own little office, which used to be a restroom. They had built a new restroom, and then they capped off all the water pipes except for like a sink, which was something I could use for my little experiments. And they put me in there because it was sort of an appropriate space for me, and it was close to the part of the factory that I was responsible for. And I was in there with my computer and doing some sort of work, and I remember I had my homepage was CNN.com. And the little alarm kept going off, breaking news, and whatever. And they said, somebody just blew into the World Trade Center with a passenger jet. And that wasn't very nice. I kind of went back to my work, and someone from the office ran out to fetch me. They were gathering everybody together in the break room, and they're watching. And I got there just about as the second plane was arriving in the scene. And of course, once it had happened twice, we knew it wasn't an accident. And I've heard it said many times, many ways, that that was the moment the world changed, and it was the moment our world changed. And, many places in the world have been living with terrorism for a lot of years, and my first thought was, the Israelis must be sitting up there thinking, welcome to our world. This world where you can walk along the street and any moment might be your last. And the American Empire had been in decline for some time. Really, I think actually it goes back even further than this. I mean, there was a period of time where Americans ruled the world, and they were going anywhere they wanted, and displacing any government they wanted and putting in their own people, doing that an awful lot in the Middle East, and that's what we're paying for today, all those things that were done by the CIA and our government back in the 1950s. But anyway, at some point after that, at some point during the Vietnam War, was when our fortunes as an empire began to decline. And I think that it was on 9/11 that they kind of, we heard that funk where we hit the baseline and said, okay, you know, USA is just another country. And I don't know, that's not entirely true. We still have an awful lot of money laying around, but the time has passed when we can swagger out into the world and make our will, make others bow to our will. I think it's made each of us consider, like that's what that reaction was. That's the day the world changed. Well, that's the day the world inside of us changed. We had to consider what our new role in the world was going to be. And you know, some people just still refuse to consider that. I know that I have a couple of them with the same last name I have, who follow watch an awful lot of Fox News. Just that we can, you know, that world is never went away or can be brought back somehow. And I'm not sure we really need to bring it back. I don't know that. I don't know if that position of absolute ascendancy is good for people, is good for society. Certainly it's not good spiritually to believe that you're always right and that you can't be defeated. There's no comeuppance for any decision you might make. And I recall walking around that sort of, everyone was walking around in a daze. We didn't know what was coming next. I mean, we knew, what's the next? That was the discussion. What's the next target? And where I was living at the time, we were living a few miles of a nuclear plant, and that was always a big discussion, that it would be easy to hit a nuclear plant and cause all sorts of damage. And the potassium iodide, the KI, was being passed around all over the place. And then there was a thing about people some people were making fake potassium iodide. Perhaps if you don't know, potassium iodide is the anti-radiation medicine that you take. And I was always kind of, I don't know. I mean, is this really something that will help when the nuclear plant next door blows up, or is it something they're giving you to keep you quiet? Okay, here's this medicine so that you don't, you know, so that you don't freak out, but really it doesn't do much at all. I think the theory is that the iodine has this cross section that absorbs the neutrons that are coming off of it. It's supposed to absorb the bad stuff that gives you the radiation sickness. Now, I don't have access to the research to know whether that's for real or a crock, but it was big. But yeah, everybody wanted some potassium iodide at the time. I think some people took advantage of that by making little fake ones. Well, I remember two things I remember very clearly. Well, three, well, two and a half things that I remember very clearly. First of all, I was supposed to travel on September the 12th. I had airline reservations to travel for business. And, of course, all the airplanes were grounded, so nobody could get anywhere, I mean, unless you drove. And it was like, I was going to California, I think it was. So being grounded was different. I mean, I had trips canceled before, but not, and we don't know if we're ever going to be flying again, kind of canceled. And I also remember, I mean, just as sort of an extension of that thought, the fact that there were no airplanes in the sky. If you have seen them, at least very high in the sky, where we were, in the contrails and whatnot, and there was nothing. It's gone. There's nothing in the air, except for the fighter planes, which is the other thing of having those. We had since we were so close to what was considered to be a target, we had I don't know what kind of F somethings or some kind of fighter plane flying over us all the time. And fairly, I don't know if you would call it low. I mean, low enough that you could see what they were. They were awful loud, coming over it at odd intervals. I remember going to the shopping mall, going to the mall to get some. I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was shopping for potassium iodide. I don't remember, but I was in the parking lot of the mall, and they go over like in Top Gun, and trying to imagine. It was a Sunday before I had been at an NFL football game. And now, I mean, there's a discussion of, are there even going to be any more NFL football games? You know, can we secure them? I don't know. Did they cancel a week? I cannot remember if they canceled a week of football at that time or not for security reasons. Were they able to go on? And that's another odd thing. You know, that was the big discussion, you know, not who are these people? What do we need to do to regain some sort of equilibrium in the world? But are we going to have football this weekend? That was what people seem to be most concerned about. And in that sense, I would say things haven't changed very much. And we haven't had a big event like 9/11 in 14 years. I counted that right, didn't I? 14 years. And I'm not so sure whether that's because, our TSA is so wonderful, or because we have to take our shoes off before we get on a plane now. Or if it's just that was the shot. That was the best shot Al-Qaeda had, or the only one they were ever going to take in the first place. Because my considered opinion is that 9/11 had its intended effect, which is it drove petroleum prices up. That's just me. You know, I'm just a crazy guy that way. But I don't think that it had anything to do with bringing down America specifically, or anything. I mean, why would the people who run things want to bring down America? Why would they want to bring down anything? Why would they bring down any place where money is passing through? Yeah, the price of petroleum had been languishing at the same level for about 20 years. I think the people who run things thought that they needed something to shake things up. So knock down a couple of towers in New York City. Now, what's scary about that idea is, it was 14 years ago, petroleum spiked to about $150 a barrel. And it didn't go any higher than that. Again, this is my sort of considered opinion, because above that level, alternatives to petroleum start to become more cost effective. The shale oils and the tar sands and various synthetic petroleum substitutes really can't be made profitably for less than $150 a barrel. Once the real stuff started to get up around those levels, interest in those alternatives began to brew again. So powers that be took the pressure off, and slowly ever since then, I think it peaked in 2008. Is that when gas tickled $4 a gallon for a little while? I think so. It was the first year I was in Columbus, so I think that was our, I said the name of my large city, and I do that sometimes. Magic ruined. But anyway, since then, the cost of a barrel of petroleum has been trickling slowly down. And now it's back to about where it was before 9/11. So, you know, try and stay, I don't know how you stay ready. And I don't know what the implications of that are on a spiritual level, of knowing that if I'm right, something big is probably on the horizon again. And, first of all, I mean, we'll get to see again if we've learned our lesson. Probably not. Maybe there's nothing. Maybe there's no lesson to be learned. Or maybe even if we did, there wouldn't be anything to do about it, because these events are being managed at a level that's far out of our control. So why even talk about this on a spiritual program? I don't know. 9/11. Felt like I ought to say something. Something beyond the sort of common messages that you see on Facebook every day about, you know, never forget, and then the sort of, I don't think I saw any counter messages like saying that 9/11 was not something we needed to remember, but some of I've been seeing a lot lately about our cause is better than your cause. Oh yeah, remember 9/11, but also remember this because it's more important. Those, I saw those kind of things. But I think 9/11 is, again, for the longest time, it's been one of those days that you better remember. You had better bow down with reference to 9/11. And I don't see any reason not to. I mean, 3,000 people died having no connection at all to what the event was about. You know, as is often said, all they did was go to work that day. And I'd like to go out on a limb and say I'm not for that. One hopes that they found peace in the afterlife. One hopes that their relatives have found some kind of peace here, maybe found some sort of connection with those people who have gone ahead of them, even if they don't realize that that's what they found. I think that's what happens. You know, our ancestors surround us. And those who have gone before us are always around us, helping us to find the path, if we're willing to listen. And that can be an eerie idea, too, because I mean, there's some things I do that I don't really want the ancestors to see. But anyway, I've talked to the first 21 minutes of the show on this. I need to take out a Shaman Tarot card. My original idea was to do a three-card reading on 9/11, on that, you know, that path. You know, have we found the path? Are we on the path? Just anything like that. Whatever happens. But it occurred to me that would be an undertaking. You know, something would be might take the whole show to do or more. So I think what I'm going to do is I am going to do that. I think it's an interesting idea. And I think I need to think it out, think it through more fully. And then once I do it, I'm going to write on my blog. So that blog is mudtoesasquatch.com. And please check it out because I have a new posting on there about my bed. So you can read that. And at some point during the next week, I promise, I will put up my three-card reading on 9/11. For the moment, I'm just going to do a standard type one-card reading that I usually do. And I'm going to shuffle the deck three times, as I am wont to do. And then I will take the top card, and we'll do a little reading with it, maybe. Oh, gosh, my cards are all out of control. Here we go. Oh, goodness, this looks interesting. This is a Jack and the Beanstalk-looking thing. There's a gentleman in modern dress meditating on the floor of his apartment, and there are just plants all over the place, including one very tall one going from the floor to the ceiling. And there's a window looking out onto an urban setting, tall buildings. And what's he got? He's got some technological things on his shelf there, too, but mostly it's greenery. And this card is the Two of Drums. Let me look that up. If he was any kind of real shaman, he would know these cards already. Gosh, he's got how many people I've seen people do tarot readings and they know all the cards. That would be just so. Yeah, I suppose I could. Maybe when I was younger. The number two card is drums. Number two is listening. Silence is necessary for looking inside, inner worlds. I believe that last word is okay. Isolation. What does that tell us about what we've been talking about today? I know I can't remember a whole lot of sitting and talking about what had happened on 9/11. A little bit. We just sort of sat and watched in silence, and then they sent us home for the day. I don't know. I think there was almost a sort of a feeling that there was something we were supposed to say, but we didn't know what it was. And I know I can only speak for myself. I was doing a lot of the looking within. I wasn't schooled in meditation at the time. You know, I did a lot of meditation during my younger days by accident. I didn't know that's what I was doing. I know that there's probably a lot of time spent reviewing these ideas in my head and sort of communing with spirit about what it meant, even though I didn't realize that's what I was doing. I don't know if I can report even today any sort of conclusion that I reached from it, other than other hands are moving things. that the people, I'm sorry, I'm not sorry, but I know it must be jarring for me. I continue to switch between this spiritual aspect and this sort of conspiracy nut aspect. I know that has to what kind of show am I listening to here? I speak from my heart. I can only hope that my intentions align with the intentions of spirit. I want to be open to the intentions of spirit so that that happens. And that's the best I can do. I do that. I open myself to the intentions of spirit, and then I let it fly. And my hope is that the words find somebody that they need to find. So that's why the subject or the point of view seems to waggle from place to place. While we've got, walk in dry places always seems to get the short end of the stick here. So let me make daggone certain that I get that in before we go off the air. So the Book of Daily Meditations for people with long-term sobriety, which is me more or less. I'm looking for September 12th, which is what it is now. Reading for September 12th is Handle the Old Tapes with Care. Ooh. A large number of recovering people have a tough time coming to terms with the abuse and abandonment of childhood days. Sometimes we play those old tapes while reliving the past in a mood of self-pity and resentment. This is destructive. We cannot completely erase the past, but we can turn it over to our friends and our higher power. Our goal should be to transform past experiences into constructive examples. Read that again. Our goal should be to transform past experiences into constructive examples. We start by reminding ourselves that all unhappy experience is a product of the world's sickness and ignorance. Far from being unusual, our misery was a common thing that we're only now beginning to overcome. We can also practice God's forgiveness, remembering that real forgiveness is humanly impossible. We can also practice God's forgiveness, remembering that real forgiveness is humanly impossible. We should resist the temptation to tell others about our past sufferings in order to gain sympathy. At all times, the old tapes must be handled with care. Whatever happened in the past cannot affect me today unless I let it. I'll play the old tapes only when it can be done constructively. So 9/11 is a lot of old tapes, isn't it? And we're seeing them all the time. I'm thinking something similar. Today I saw one of those news videos of people jumping out of the tower. You remember those? And it showed close-ups of people, you know, plunging to their deaths. And then those come back every year, sometimes times other than every year. I just wonder what is the constructive purpose of replaying those tapes? Something horrible happened. You know, I understand that something horrible happened. This seems that level of sort of rolling in the it's not enough to just have this sort of reverence for 9/11. We have to sort of bury ourselves in the tragedy again. I don't see the usefulness of that. Anyway, we can think more about that. We've come to the end of our 30 minutes together. Thank you for listening to me ramble, and I promise I will practice the flute some more before I try and play it for you again. You can check out my website at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudtoeSasquatch.com for some interesting blog material, and then look for that reading on 9/11 next week. Until then, once again, thanks for listening, and have a pleasant good evening.